God's word. Lord God, we thank you so much for this morning, for the opportunity to come together and worship you and praise your name. As we open your word this morning, we pray that we will hear from you. Open our hearts and our minds so that your word can be planted deep, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to meet with you this morning. Be with the children as well on Sunday school. I pray, Lord, that they too may know that they are loved. Pray this in your name. Amen. So this morning, we are reading from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in this sanctuary, his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and harp and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So far the reading of God's word. So this morning, it's a beautiful, sunny summer day. And it's the beginning of summer. And yesterday, most of us, in some fashion, celebrated Canada Day, Canada's 150th birthday. A number of us came together at the church picnic to celebrate. Some of you might have done something else. There's many ways to celebrate here in the city. Any place that you could have gone had special activities, whether it was Fort Edmonton Park or the legislature, City Hall, any of those places. And just out of curiosity, how many of you actually saw some form of fireworks yesterday? Ah, a number of you. All right, great. Yeah, so there was fireworks in all the communities around. So I actually had the privilege of being on the 15th floor of a tower on the south side of the river. So from that, we could not only see Edmonton's fireworks, we could see Fort Saskatchewan, Sherwood Park, St. Albert, and Stony Plain as well. So we could see all of them, and as well as all of downtown. So it was beautiful. But that idea of celebrating, that's a really good thing. It's great. Canada is a great thing to celebrate. We have a country in which we are able to go to fireworks where there's thousands of people and feel safe. And the police were out in force last night. I could watch them from way above there. And they were all over, including on the river in the boats. And people weren't afraid of the police. They knew the police were there to keep the crowds safe and to keep order so that everybody could enjoy themselves. We have a country where we have a healthcare system that may not be perfect, but if something major goes wrong, we know that we would be able to get help. We have a school system where the teachers are trained well and we can go to school. Now, I know that a number of you are quite happy to be out of school now for the summer, which is great. It's wonderful to have a break from school, but it's also a privilege to be able to go to school regularly. Many, many places don't have that privilege. And we can go to stores, and there's goods on the shelves. And in fact, if we go to a store and we find something that we wanted that isn't there, we're actually a little upset because most of the time it's there. Things function in our country. They function well. And even if we complain about our government or we don't particularly like them, the government actually functions very well, functions in a way that keeps our society moving so that we are able to live in freedom we're able to come this morning and worship. We're able to choose what kind of education we want. We're able to think about what direction we want to go in life, what career we want to take, how we would like to raise our children, how we would like to worship. All those things. And those are wonderful things to celebrate. And so there's been a lot of thought about celebrating Canada in the 150th. Also, it's the beginning of summer. So we celebrate summer here. Summer's very short. And so we tend to celebrate summer, which is why the pews are even more empty than they usually are. Many people are out camping or enjoying nature or traveling. They're taking a break, celebrating summer. Now, I didn't know this, but celebration is actually a synonym for praise. So it's another word for praise. So essentially, we're praising our country when we celebrate, and we're praising summer when we celebrate summer and enjoy summer. And this morning, we want to focus on celebrating God, the giver of all good things, our creator, our redeemer. And so when I thought about what should we focus on in terms of praise and celebration, Psalm 150 came to mind, because it is Canada's 150th anniversary, so why not? Psalm 150, it fits right in. So hence, Psalm 150 is what we're focusing on. Now, before I actually focus on Psalm 150, I want to talk a little bit about the Psalms as a whole, because there is actually, at least according to Walter Brueggemann, who is probably the best well-known Old Testament scholar of our era, or the late 20th century, and he would say that there is a rhythm to the Psalms. We don't usually think about the Psalms in terms of having an order. We read the Psalms, we enjoy the Psalms, but we don't really think about how are they put together and is there a rhythm, an order to the Psalms. But he would say that there is a rhythm to them. And what he suggests is that there's a rhythm of orientation to disorientation to reorientation. And this orientation is toward God. So initially, there's an orientation to God. And Psalm 1 is a very, very good example of that. And then there's disorientation. Throughout the middle of the Psalms, there's a whole combination of disorientations where we are no longer connected to God the way we should be. And at the very end, Psalm 150 is an example of complete reorientation toward God. So just to go through this a little bit more, Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the way of the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." So in other words, if we follow God and live according to his ways, are oriented to God, then we are blessed. We are happy. Life is good. That's the way God created the world. That's the way it was supposed to be, the way it was originally. We had harmony and peace between God and creation, humanity. But it didn't stay that way. And humanity rebelled, and we essentially what we call fell into sin. And so then there's a disorientation away from God. And then there's many psalms, particularly the lament psalms, that really express this reality of disorientation. The reality of betrayal, sorrow, rejection, all the various forms of sin and evil that there is in the world, the Psalms, particularly the Lament Psalms, express. They express the chaos and the brokenness of this world. Psalm 79 says, O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble. They have left the dead bodies of your servants as food for the birds of the sky, the flesh of your own people for the animals of the wild. It's the rebellion of people against God and the results of that. But the Psalms also make it very clear that God did not leave us in that disorientation, that brokenness away from God. The Psalms, there's many Psalms that show that God is with us in this chaos, in this disorientation. God is here as well. He has not left us. Psalm 103 says, Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. So the Psalms, even though they were written long before Jesus, they give us a foretaste, a glimpse toward Jesus, toward when God himself came and dwelled in human form, came and dwelled among humanity, made his home with us, and made it so that through his life, death, and resurrection, we could be once again reoriented back to God. And the Psalms, many of the Psalms, express that reality, that coming reality that Jesus would do that. And the Psalms, what they also do is they're Psalms of reorientation that show the reality after Jesus made it possible for us to come back to the Father. So we have many Psalms of thanksgiving and praise, and they point toward that reorientation as a foretaste of it. In Psalm 150, the final psalm in the book of Psalms, is a psalm that expresses complete reorientation. So, a reorientation to God that is not marred by anything negative. It's not marred by any disorientation. So the Psalms essentially start with orientation toward God and reorientation at the end. And in the middle, there are Psalms that express orientation, reorientation, and disorientation. All of them. That's why it's sometimes hard to see the rhythm. But if you think about it, there are Psalms that have all three of those rhythms within the Psalm. And then there are Psalms that express more one than the other. And then we have these bookends, Psalm 1 and Psalm 150. Psalm 1 that shows the beginning, orientation, and then Psalm 150 of the complete reorientation to God. The kind of reorientation that is going to happen when Christ comes back again. In Revelations we read, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And when everything is new, we will praise God without any encumbrances, like Psalm 150. So let's take a closer look at Psalm 150. There's three things that I want to point out this morning. First, the importance of praising God. Second, that praise is bold, it's active, and it's varied. And third, that praise is all-encompassing. First, praise is important. In those six verses, you may have noticed that the word praise happens a lot. It's actually 13 times in those six short verses that the word praise is. And elsewhere in Scripture, you also see the word praise very much, and other words that mean the same thing, such as extol, exalt, glorify, exclaim, boast, sing, hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. So, you know, I did a quick search of these words, and there was over 1,000 of them. So it's not surprising, once again, that the Westminster Catechism says that the chief end of humanity is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Because when we're really praising God, we're in complete orientation with God, that's what we're meant to be. And then the joy in our hearts also overflows. So not only is praise mentioned a lot, it's also in the imperative. In other words, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It says, praise the Lord. And it says, everything and everyone. Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And Philippians 2 reiterates this, focusing on Jesus Christ. Therefore, because Jesus had humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross, God himself, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and in under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Second, praise is bold and it's active and it's varied. You know, the praise is not behind closed doors at all. Maybe we should open everything up here, be able to open up the windows and the doors and so on. Actually, we hope to have the doors open more in the summertime here now too. Because the praise, you can't miss it. Think of the fireworks last night. You couldn't miss them. They were loud, they were bright, and you could see them from such a long ways away. That's what the praise of our God needs to be like. People need to know that we are willing to praise God in a way that shows that we belong to Him, that we do not hide that. In Psalm 150, there's the sound of trumpet. When you sound a trumpet, you're announcing. So it's like announcing that God is Lord and King. It's not a secret. There's the trumpet, there's the harp, the lyre, the timbrel, the strings, the pipe, the cymbals, and dance. So you're hearing it, you're feeling it, you're moving. It's like using all your senses to praise God. It's like a loud, if you've ever heard an orchestra, I think most of you, even the kids, would have heard an orchestra at one point or another. And you think of it, a crescendo at the end of an orchestra piece, and it's got everything going. All the strings, it's got all the brass instruments, and then all the drums. I know that the symphony has, I think, 3 or 4 sets of drums that they use at the same time, and they use cymbals. It's very loud. This is the kind of praise that is being expressed in Psalm 150. In Revelation 19, it says, they shouted, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Just try to picture that in your mind. I suspect that when we finally come to the time of the new heavens and the new earth, that we will no longer be sitting in pews quietly facing the front. I have a feeling we will be praising our God in ways that we would never imagine doing now. Just incredible. You know, sometimes it almost feels a little bit like that when we have a praise team up here. Think about last week. We had the praise team. We had more instruments. Now, Linda is a phenomenal player, but it's one instrument. But when we have more instruments up here, and then we have a song that we know well, and then the instrument of our voice is included, you know, you can almost feel like you can raise the roof in this building. That's praising God. Third, praise is all-encompassing. It's all-encompassing in terms of place. Psalm 150 says that we are to praise him in his sanctuary and praise him in his mighty heavens. In other words, to praise him wherever God dwells. God dwells everywhere. He dwells everywhere, including in our own hearts. The Holy Spirit is in all believers, and he includes us. So it's all-encompassing also in time. Psalm 113, we'd read it earlier. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Psalm 146, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. It's not just for Sunday mornings. It's for all places, all times, and in all kinds of ways. It's all-encompassing in style. There's all these different instruments that were described in Psalm 150. And there was dancing in Psalm 150. And in other places, shouting and singing. This isn't to limit how we are to praise. This is to broaden our view of how we can praise our Lord. Everything we do glorifies God. And that we are to do so that others may come to know our Savior Jesus Christ, so that they too may come to glorify God. Matthew 5, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify, praise your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2, live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So all our living points to Christ and is part of our praise. Everything we do. You know, the fourth verse of the hymn, sing praise to the Lord, you people of grace, and that's based on Psalm 150. We're actually not singing it this morning because I don't think we know the tune. But the fourth verse says, yield all that you are to worship the Lord. See life, all of life, as a psalm, each moment a chord. Let harmonies flourish and melodies soar. Let all that has breath praise the Lord evermore. So this summer, as we celebrate, as we enjoy the different things, may we be able to see and praise God for all the different things that we do differently this summer, as we take a break, as we relax, enjoy our gardens, enjoy nature, camping, walking, swimming, playing, whatever it is we do this summer, may we do it to the glory and honor of God. And you know, let's think if there's anything that really, really you noticed this summer, like, this is where I've noticed God. God is here, and I am praising Him through this particular event in my life or this particular activity. Perhaps when we come back in the fall, we could share some of these things with each other as well. Share what God is doing in our lives. And you know, even though summer is a time where we often celebrate, life isn't always easy. And some of you might be facing some really difficult things. Even in the difficulties, I pray that you are able to see the fingerprints of God and be able to get a glimpse of hope and praise Him through even enduring the perseverance of the saints, and know that there will come a time of complete reorientation where there's nothing to stop us from praising God. So let's respond this morning with singing, "Praise God, earth and heaven rejoice." This is also based on Psalm 150.